Hello. Welcome to this podcast made especially for local children. I'm going to tell you about some stories and folklore from some of the towns and villages nearby. I hope you enjoy it. Do you know what folklore is? If you look up the word in a dictionary, it says, folklore is the traditional beliefs, customs and stories of a community, passed through the generations by word of mouth. So that includes stories and memories people tell over time. You probably know some folklore. Have you ever heard from older people in your family about tales they were told? Folklore can vary from village and town and country to country. But everywhere people exist, so does folklore, because people love to tell stories. Some local stories are about real events and people, and some are about imaginary events or legends. Many ancient tales have been told over and over throughout the years and are kept alive by being shared. In this podcast, I'll share some stories with you. They were written down by children in the late 1930s. That's over 80 years ago now. See if you recognise any of the places mentioned. And afterwards, you could have a think about any folklore or local history that you know. In the 1930s, people interested in folklore decided it was essential to preserve local stories from all over Ireland so they would not be lost. They asked children in schools to become the collectors of this information and to capture the memories and tales where they lived. They started the project in 1937 and collected stories over the next couple of years. Some were written in English and others in Irish, depending on the school and area. This collection is now known as the Dúchas Schools Collection, part of the National Folklore Collection. Eventually, over 50,000 children and young teenagers across 5,000 schools in Ireland had joined in. The children were given suggested topics to write about, such as the town or village where they lived, local people and their work, the games children played, and local legends. They were asked to interview their parents, grandparents, and neighbours to learn about their lives. So many of the stories they wrote about are even more than 80 years old. The children wrote the information in copybooks, and by the end of the project, there were over 500,000 pages. Some of the things they wrote are real accounts of what life was like and things that happened day to day, and some are more like fairy stories. I've included a few different types. Do you think you'll be able to tell the difference? The organisers knew these records would be interesting to people in years to come, so all the pages were saved, and in recent years a website was made to show them all. Sometimes several children wrote different accounts of the same story, showing us how stories can change with each retelling. It's important to know that some stories in the collection use expressions and words we don't use any longer, as attitudes and understanding has changed over time. Before we hear some of these stories, consider this. Do you think these children's lives in the 1930s were quite different from your life today? What kind of things do you think would have been different? And what do you think has changed in the place you live? Many children recorded cures or treatments for various conditions, as people often used home remedies. Some of the cures we read about sound very unappealing. Like this one, suggested by a student in Sagart to help ease a type of bad cough called whooping cough.
Whooping cough can be cured by giving bread to a donkey, then gather up the crumbs which fall from his mouth and boil them with milk and give it to the child with the whooping cough. It will cure it.
The students in Sagart also tell us about the big fairs that were previously held in the village. These were opportunities for people to buy and sell animals.
About 50 years ago, Corpus Christi Fair was one of the biggest fairs in Ireland. The place where the fairs were held used to be called and is yet known as the Fair Green. At that time, there were three gates into the Fair Green, one for pigs, one for sheep and one for cattle, and in front of the school there were tents in which one would get their dinner. The fair lasted for a week. From the village to about 100 yards past the old school, there was nothing but horses for sale.
Nowadays, we mostly buy things we need, but people often made items they used around the house in the past. These descriptions from Rathfarnham tell us about some crafts in the area.
Candle making was done in our district long ago and is still carried out at the present time in the castle of Rathfarnham. The tallow is moulded into shape and a piece of twine is put through it and then it left to cool. Basket making was carried on in our district long ago but is not carried on now. The basket maker turned and wove the material and sometimes he painted it in different colours. Long ago, spinning was carried out and also weaving in my district. My grandmother used to have a spinning wheel. Mr. Caffrey used to have a forge in Taylor's Lane. He made spades, wheels, gates and fire cranes.
Most towns and villages had a forge like the one mentioned. The smiths made items like tools and horseshoes. These forges were hot and noisy places to work in. Many children were keen to share tales of battles or hidden treasure from long ago. These are stories that were passed down over time. Do you think we can always rely on that kind of story when it's told and retold? Or can stories like that change or be exaggerated over the years? Here's an example from the area around Rathcoole and Newcastle.
There is an old legend told by the people of the localities of Rathcoole and Newcastle that during the rebellion of 1641, Maguire, the leader of the County Dublin rebels, hearing of the approach of the English troops, buried all the treasure which he and his army possessed. The treasure is believed to be buried halfway between Rathcoole and Newcastle. It is also rumoured that on the night of October 23rd, a body of ghosts came from the direction of Newcastle and started digging for the treasure. One night they were seen by a man who shouted loudly, whereupon they all disappeared under the ground.
Many South Dublin areas had much more farmland in use than there is today. So people were interested in subjects linked to farming, such as animal health or the weather. This description tells us about some very snowy weather in 1933.
There was a heavy snowstorm in the year 1933. In some places, the snow was on the ground for about 4 weeks. Some of the mountain people were snowed up and could not get out for food. Many calves and sheep were covered with the snow. The mountain people had to walk along the walls and hedges to get to the shops for food. Many farmers went out to dig for their sheep and cattle and got snowed up.
When we see a story that mentions an event like this and a year, we can check other sources to confirm the information. I checked the newspapers from this time, and these are available online for library members. I can see several snow episodes that year. A newspaper in March 1933 had this headline: "Fierce blizzard sweeps the country," and tells us that Dublin received one of the heaviest snowstorms that it has experienced for a great many years. Children often had to help their parents with farm work. A couple of years after the school's collection project was finished in 1941, a newspaper told us that children in Lucan National School were given an extended summer holiday. They got an extra 10 days off. And that sounds great, but it was for a particular purpose, which was to allow the children to help their parents gather in the harvest, saving the crops in general, putting by wood fuel for the winter, and other essential activities. Do you think you would have liked that kind of work? Can you imagine the sounds a person living in a town like Lucan in the 1930s would have heard? There would have been noise from the forge in the village and the machinery running in the mills. You might have heard church bells ringing and water pumps in use, people doing their shopping and stopping to have a chat. Nearby, you would have heard the farm animals and farm machinery. The sound of the River Liffey running by at the weir is one that people in Lucan can still hear today. What about the smells? A newspaper in January 1931 tells us of a discussion about a very smelly problem in Lucan. The town needed a proper sewerage system so that all the toilet waste could be disposed of correctly. The report mentions an appalling stench due to the open drains and polluted water that ran straight into the River Griffin. I'm glad they fixed that problem. A child in Clondalkin asked her mother about food in the olden times and reported on it like this.
In the olden times, our ancestors, though they ate plain food, were very particular about it. They generally had 3 meals a day, breakfast, dinner and supper. As a rule, they rose at 6 a.m, milked the cows and did some other odd jobs before breakfast, which they took at about 8 o'clock. Then they had dinner at 12 o'clock and supper at 9 p.m, after which they retired to bed.
This child in Palmerstown gave a brief history of some of the houses built in the village.
The village consisted mostly of small houses about 30 years ago. Many new houses were built by the county council about that time, and after the Great War, houses were erected for ex-servicemen. These houses have added much to the size of the village.
The Great War mentioned in this description is also known as World War I. Many of the Dukas' accounts were written down only 20 years after this war ended, and some, like this account, mention it briefly. A report from Talla describes a local castle. This is a common theme in many of the stories, as people have always been interested in old castles, houses and churches in their area. Do you know of any old buildings where you live?
On turning to the right before entering the village, one can, by walking about a mile along the Green Hills Road, arrive at Kilnamanagh Castle, once a monastery and still bearing an old world appearance. The door of the castle is the original door, studded all over and fastened inside with a huge rude wooden bolt. One can see where the moat has been and the drawbridge. The stone circular stairs is still in use. As a matter of fact, the only thing missing from the old castle is the top story, which was blown off not so many years ago by a tremendous storm and wasn't rebuilt, the roof being put on again without the top story.
The castle described here has since been knocked down. The last record I'm going to share today contains a list of popular games children played, and these were likely played in all areas. Some of them sound familiar even today. Do you recognise any?
Treasure hunt, I spy, Jack Jack where are you, hopscotch, kick the can, paper chase, chain tube, round tower, hunt the hare, post office, badminton, donkey, birds, colours, skipping, rounders, hide and go seek, the shepherd and the sheep, leap the frog, frog in the middle, red Indians and cowboys, simple game of cricket, thread thread in the long needle.
Those are all the stories for today. So, what do you think children in 80 years' time will think about your life today? Do you think they'll still play the same games? Will the music you like now and the clothes you wear seem old-fashioned to them? Do you think you could write down some stories for children to read in 80 years' time? What would you tell them about what you've experienced in 2020 and 2021? Even if you don't write down your stories, when you are older, you will tell stories about your life now, and people will love to hear them.